Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Please stand for the scripture reading. Today's scripture reading is not what is in your bulletin. It is instead Psalm 61 from the Common English Bible, verses 1 through 8. God, listen to my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. When my heart is weak, I cry out to you from the very ends of the earth. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I am, because you have been my refuge, a tower of strength in the face of the enemy. Please let me live in your tent forever. Please let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Selah. Because of you, God, have heard my promises. You've given me the same possession as those who honor your name. Add days to the king's life. Let his years extend for many generations. Let him be enthroned forever before God. Make it so love and faithfulness watch over him. Then I will sing praises to your name forever, and I will do what I promised every single day. This is the word of the Lord.
You may be seated. An elder of the United Methodist Church is called to three basic services and principles which we must live out. An elder in the United Methodist Church is called to word, that is to preach the word of God, the sacraments, the opportunity to serve God's people through the giving of Holy Communion and baptism, and number three, to order the life of the congregation. That is what the Book of Discipline has said now for over 100 years. That specific call offers also the opportunity to lead the church locally, district conference, and general conference ways through the gift of administration. One of those privileges I have had in that role is to serve on several boards of direction of directors, both in terms of jurisdiction and in national form. Yesterday, I returned, although I intended to, somewhere around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but finally, after many planes, trains, and automobiles from the city of Dallas, at 11 o'clock, I arrived on the TARP, having been at one of those national board meetings. The board meeting is the National Board of Directors for the Black Church for Church Renewal. It is one of the groups that helped formulate us in 1968 as the United Methodist Church. And so with 36 other persons, I sit around annually, as we have planned every year, and discuss where we are going in direction that we move. I knew before I left, or so I thought, what I would share with you. The series is plain and clear. I'd given direction to our tech team to know my life points. In fact, Grant was scurrying around this morning because I came to him this morning, only 10 minutes before service, and said there has been a change, much to his dismay. Grant, you should be comforted that if you thought you were dismayed, imagine me as I was flying on the plane and I kept hearing the Holy Spirit say to me, "What you have planned is not what you will do." Isn't that our lives? Isn't that how we have lived throughout the years that we have been here? That what we plan is not what eventually we do? I think Jesus, in fact, I know Jesus felt this way in Luke chapter 4. I'll get to Psalm 61 in just a minute. But in Luke chapter 4, Jesus had not planned to be the prophet to the Pharisees or his brothers and sisters of the Pharisaical order. It was not his opportunity nor his hope to have this moment of prophetic unction to speak to those who he had been in school with all those years, but somehow it beheld to him that he would give the moment in the temple to say to them, I have come to preach good news to the poor, to release captives to the sight, etc. And so you know the story. His plan was to be a good priest and follow the Levitical order. But his purpose, because of the moment, became clear. Friends, I've been in one way or another leading the church in this way for about 25 years. And I got to tell you, just like you feel this morning, having read the newspaper and the list goes on and on, among the things I think is this. We have been here before. we have been here before. With these feelings of our stomachs turning upside down and not feeling comfortable and anxious and nervous and, can I say it, angry. We have been here before. Quite frankly, we're weary of being here. I'm just like you. There have been moments when I wanted to do anything else. But I want to talk to you today in a different way than you probably think I am. I'm not going to focus in on what subject matter. No, I am not going to make this a civil rights sermon. This is not about this is not about anger, and it's not any of that. I want to talk to you about what I know the Holy Spirit has instructed me to share. I want to talk to you about resting on the rock. Resting on the rock. Jesus in Luke 4 was trying to find some rest amidst the call that he was offered. Today, you came to church because you're looking for some rest. The truth of our faith is our faith grows weary with the test that we face so often. The greater truth is this, that while preachers would love to claim that their elocutionary arts draws people from near and far to hear them speak, the real truth is we're not looking for them at all. We're really hoping that Christ will show up in the midst and in spite of them speak. Yes? My ego's not that flated. Trust me, I'm really clear who I am. This is helpful to note as Jesus reads Isaiah 61, and as we now hear in our text, David writes Psalm 61. David writes a liturgy, an opportunity for people to follow their hearts as they seek God's wisdom, and as he tries to lead the people both as a military leader and as a psalmist for God. And in Psalm 61, he writes some words that I want to offer to you for both strength and encouragement, for counsel and compassion, for care, and for courage. Here they are. From the Contemporary English Bible that was read ably by Scott. Thank you for doing that, Scott, on the impromptu moment. I know that was not comfortable, but you did it well. Thank you. God, listen to my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. Now, let's just pause there as we talk about this theme, resting on the rock, because the real grace that David gives us here is that he says, listen, don't listen to my attitude, my emotions, or my reactions. Listen to my prayer. That's really good news because it offers us the opportunity to tell God not only what we're thinking, but what we're feeling. And the grace of that is God listens. He goes on to say in verse 2, when my heart is weak, I cry out to you from the very ends of the earth. At the conclusion of my board meeting on yesterday, we have two Episcopal leaders, two bishops that are in that meeting. I had a moment, some of you know every once in a while can be a little bit clear in my commentary. I had a clear moment during this board meeting where we were getting nothing done and all of us had spent great money to get there and nothing was happening, and I was clear about purpose and focus. The board took action by the grace of the Holy Spirit. We were concluding. One of the Episcopal leaders who has the ability to change the atmosphere in a moment pulled me in a corner and cried, wept uncontrollably as we got the news, as we sat around the table, that persons had been trampled down by a car in Charlottesville, Virginia, because of domestic terrorism. And as I held this Episcopal leader, hoping that they would not ask me to do something that would risk my employment, this leader who leads the church said to me, she said, "Do you ever get tired of these moments? We've been here before. We've done this more times than we can shake a stick at." And just like the challenge of evil that we face globally right now, not only with what's happening in Charlottesville, but the fears we have of what potentially could happen in Guam and North Korea, the fears we have of those who we love, who serve our country bravely, who go in spite and because of their belief in whatever constructs they see, because we support both our military and our servicemen who fight the good fight of faith, and those who advocate for justice in whatever forms they see it presents themselves. I offer you this counsel of heart, this wisdom of soul, this grace of opportunity. Here is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here is the really good news. Verse 3, David says, in the midst of our emotions, here's what I would offer you. End of verse 2, rather. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David says, I don't have all the answers. Let me pause and release you. As you keep asking God for answers, here's the good news. The answers may not be for you to have. And that's okay. It's not your job to have the answers. Remind yourself that there is one who is higher than you, whose job is to have the whole world in his hands. Here is the better news of that. There is a place we can go where we can get courage and counsel and compassion and care like none other. It is the rock. The rock in the Old Testament image, based on my rudimentary remembrance of the text historically, is an image for God as strength. David says, lead me, please, to the rock, because there is shaky ground underneath my feet. And even though I am called to stand, it is not easy to stand when the earth underneath my feet is moving. I want you to hear this from your pastor who loves you more than you know. I'm right here with you. It's shaky under my ground too. With the world changing and things shifting, not only in the world, but even in my own life, in the church and in other places, I gotta let you know, we all are rocking and rolling here. You ever wanted to stand on a rock? Dennis, you and I went to Jan, you went to Alaska. In Alaska, if you ever travel, when you get near those big ice glaciers, there's always rocks that have formed around them. And because it's so wet around there, standing on the rocks is a very difficult process because they're wet and they're not really stable. So you know me, right? I had to stand on rocks because I'm a risk taker. Emma said, idiot, don't do that. You're going to break your neck. She's kind of clear too at times, you know what I mean? And so, but here I go. I'm Dennis, I did it. Even now, of course, instead of wearing tennis shoes, what do I wear? Casual boots, because I'm that kind of guy. And so I'm sitting there with no traction on rocks that are wet and slippery. Four things I learned. It reminded me of God as I came to you last night. One, it's not about standing perfectly. It's standing in the right angle to allow God to hold you up. There are no two rocks that have the same dimensions. In fact, rocks have unlimited dimensions because of how life shapes and breaks them. And God doesn't ask you to figure out how to stand on him. God just says, stand where you can. That's the wonderful part about God in these moments where we face evil and difficulty and stress. God doesn't say, you have to stand on me perfectly. Stand the best way you can, but let me lead you to where you can stand. One of the images in the Old Testament for rock is scripture. Friends, I know that I pummel you with the belief that this text has the truths of God in it. I hope you're used to it because I'm going to keep doing it. I got to tell you, when you're on shaky ground, rest on God's word. I found it to be a sure and certain hope. There's a second element to my rock standing. I discovered that underneath the big rock that I was on, you remember this, Dennis? There were some small pebbles that were underneath that were formulated from the big rock. God will put stuff underneath your feet that will be sustaining you in ways that you can't even know is sustaining you. He says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Here's my point to you right now. Resting on the rock doesn't mean that the rock will always be constant. It just means that the rock will always be there, even when you can't feel that it's there. Some of the pebbles that were underneath my feet were formulated from the rock that was bigger than when it was 20 years ago. God is a very present help in the time of trouble. God's not going anywhere. God's shape and mold might change, but be confident that God's with you. The people in Charlottesville need to know that. So I'm going to ask you to do something this week. Bishop Sharman Lewis, my former district superintendent and the current bishop of the Virginia Conference, has made a call to the churches of our United Methodist structure to send as many cards of get well and encouragement to those who she walked with yesterday as they face that difficulty. Just to say two things. You are loved of God, and you are loved by this church. St. John's, we have a reputation of being activists. Let's live up to that. So this week, bring a card by the church that simply offers those two things. We know you are loved of God, and you are loved by this church. And we're going to put them together, and we're going to send them to the Episcopal office. And they are going to share those in the next week or so with all those who are currently recovering from that moment. I got a lot I want to say, but there's only 2 minutes left of my time, so let me be quick and fast to it. You appreciate that, don't you? There's one last thing I got to say. When he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, verse 2, Psalm 61, as he gives this liturgy to the people, he does it out of a context that he writes it in the evening as he leaves the camp and goes to their worship area. Remember, they are in their third stage of the temples. This is David's temple, and the temple was always established outside the camp. Two facets of the same truth are important here. One, know that in whatever state and condition you're in, the church is here for you. The church has not abandoned you. The church will not abandon you. In fact, in the New Testament, Peter says this. In fact, God says to him in his heart this, upon this rock I will build my church. It means with broken, imperfect, and sometimes fractured people, God still resides in the midst of their love and grace to bring people together, because it is in the family of God where God's work is done. We are the church. Imperfect, broken, sinful, good, well-cooking, well-meaning, the list goes on and on. All of those characteristics are there, but here's who we are. We are the church that represents the stone that the builders rejected. We are the church that represents the stone that the builders rejected. You represent that which the world will often represent when it reject, when it requires an angering moment rather than a grace-filled moment. Be grace-filled. Be honest. Deal with your stuff. But don't allow the dial to go from anger to hate. The Bible says, be angry. Watch this. Sin not. Get there. It's okay to be angry. You're allowed to feel the way you feel. You're just not allowed to do what you want to do. The final comment I've got, my time is up, is this. Resting on the rock is a witness that I need the assistance of a Savior who can keep me safe when everything else is a storm. The world is looking for a church that will look at the world falling apart and still say, on the solid rock I stand. All other is sinking sand. Rest on this rock and trust God when everything else is falling apart. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. God of grace and power, we've been here before. We've faced times like this before, and unfortunately, given the nature of who we are as humans, we will probably face times like this again. Give us the strength to know when the storm is here and to rest on you and to be your people, even with our own differences, not only externally but internally. Not to focus on the things that are important but are smaller than the big thing we're called to do, which is to be your church for a world that is hurting and needs the only hope that will sustain through the test of time, the one who died on a Friday and rose on a Sunday and rose with all power in his hands. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray, and the church said,